time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When Norm was out on the casting call, who did Cheers turn to?
The police!
When Mike Tyson became the youngest heavyweight champion in history and no sparring partners could be found, who did the champ turn to?
The police!
Now, this world-renowned barfly slash pugilist has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul LaVoy!
His pronouns are he, him, and hungry. Really?
All right, welcome to Speak Out. It is Friday, May 29th, 2026. Two more days, and we're into Trump's birthday month. What the heck, man?
It's crazy.
It is.
Honestly, though, this weather,
uh-huh.
How great is it?
Folks, I'm sitting here across from a guy who has a hat on. It says, Pretty Girls Vote Republican, Leo.
Am I wrong?
And then
am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong.
Thank you.
There has been so many discussions over this that you have Hillary over here and you have Kristi Noem over on the others on the Republican side. It's like, that's the contrast, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, it's so sexist, though, right?
Yeah, but it's great. Look,
true.
But these are it's my campaign hat, right? And I have a nice
cool.
It's like a nice 50s woman on here,
uh-huh.
Which fits Havasi beautifully. And
you should have Rosie the Riveter.
Ah, that's a good point too.
But that was Jam Brewer.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
And I pass these out at the parades. People love them.
Really?
I'll continue to order them and
cool.
throw them out there.
That's cool.
It's a fan favorite.
I would have pegged you for a Maha hat.
Yeah.
That would have been cool.
That would have been cool, too.
But he's got what do you wear, a large, and you're actually wearing a medium right now?
No, this is extra large.
He's jacked, folks.
It's extra large.
He's got, what rifle is that?
It's an AR?
Yeah. AR-15, we hold the line.
Hold the line.
You just look jacked right now, man.
You know, this is what happens when you have a break from the legislature. You just
right?
start doing push-ups and, you know.
So we're talking campaign stuff today, but we
yeah.
can just talk politics, pretty much whatever we want, but I really want to stay on track with the campaign.
Sure.
Because you are going from the
Arizona
state
House.
Rep seat, then from the House to the Senate.
Yeah.
I was in Nevada mode for a minute.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
From
yeah.
the Assembly.
Assembly. Yeah,
to the Senate. But anyway, did you catch the debate last night? The Peterson...
I did. You know, it's funny.
Rodney Glassman debate?
Holy
cow, I got sound bites from it. I was like, those guys don't like each other.
No, they don't. And it's... I know them both really well. Obviously I worked with President Peterson. He was there when I got elected 8 years ago. So I've been with him for 8 years in the House. And then he went to the Senate. So I've known him for a long time. I've known Ronnie for a long time. So I'm in an interesting position to where I know them both really well. But holy smokes, that was brutal. If anybody wants to spend an hour, reality TV style.
I think it's YouTube, but
yeah, it's on YouTube.
Just type in "clean elections debate."
Glassman,
Attorney General.
Yeah, or Attorney General. Yeah, and you'll see it. I don't think I've seen a debate like. I mean, the Trump Biden one was got a little feisty last night. That was some.
I have documentation on Glassman as what Peterson was talking
sure.
about. I have that documentation. There was an NDL. So, anyway, you have to see it, folks. It's
you should.
Crazy.
Look, I think it's important for people to obviously
yes.
know who they're voting
mm-hmm.
for. And that's a great – that's why I love going to debates. I love going to speaking arrangements. I went the other night at the Foundry.
Right.
Spoke to voters there. Because that's how you figure out who's who, what's their background, what are they running for. And if anybody who doesn't know Peterson or Glassman, they're both running for AG – primary for the Republican side, you should watch that debate.
I don't care for the argument, well, you're not an attorney, so you shouldn't be attorney general. It's not really, I get it, but I used to think you had to be an attorney to be in Washington to read some of these laws.
You're right. I mean, the legislature?
You?
No. I mean, think about even the legislature. Our job, outside of our only constitutional duty, which is to pass a budget, a lot of people don't know that, but that's really our only job. Our
to
only
pass the
constitutional
budget.
Duty of the legislature is to pass a budget. The rest of the time is kind of gravy. You're making bills, you're writing bills.
Great.
You look at the makeup of the legislature, and there's 90 of us. I think five, maybe four. Five might be too many. Maybe four are lawyers. So you're correct. You don't have to be. And what is our job outside the budget is to write law. So we have to, you're supposed to have kind of a legal background, if you would think about it, to write law. Many of us don't.
Where do you get a reference when you write the MAHA bill?
So I actually went to law school. I got my master's.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, for Arizona law. I didn't get my I didn't go to the
you
route
didn't?
Of law school. I didn't get my obviously my doctorate, mm-hmm. but I have a master's in legal studies. So I learned how do you write a bill, right?
Oh.
How does that work? How does court cases and all that? So I'm a little bit of an outlier on that part. But the main thing you do is, I'll give you the idea. A bill idea comes to you, whether your constituent reaches out, you see something on TV, you think of something yourself. You go to your policy advisors who then bring in the lawyers. You sit down and you say, this is what I want. I want to do this, this, this. They sit down. They figure out the legalities. We have alleged counsel who mm-hmm. they're a group of, gosh, I want to say like 20, 30 of them, and they're all lawyers.
Is that the, what is it, the J?
Well, you have JLAC.
JLAC,
right.
Thank
right.
you.
Right, but you have a Ledge Council is the actual group of lawyers in the Arizona House. They work with Dems and Republicans,
oh.
so they're not, you know, obviously there's no party affiliation, they're bipartisan. Mm-hmm. They write the bills. So they make it into legal form, so then we get the bill.
Okay.
We look through it. I don't like this, I don't like that. Let's change this, let's change that. And then at the end of it all, it goes through the process, right? Committee, whatever. And then it goes through rules, where actually our House rule attorney
right.
looks over it. And then they tell us.
What are they looking for in rules?
If it's constitutional.
Okay.
Right? So then they come to us in the rules committee, and they literally stand in front of the committee and say, we believe this is not constitutional, or we believe this is good. And they give
it's almost like a line item veto, huh?
Kind of. I mean,
they're going line by line.
But yeah, they go line by line. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, they give their recommendation. You still don't have to listen. Right, this is why you have lawsuits that happen all the time, right? The Supreme Court chimes in. But you have all these checks and balances to make sure it kind of fits, you know, is it legal, is it constitutional?
Right.
But at the end of the day, we're the legislator, we're the legislature. We decide what we feel is legal or not, constitutional or not. If we pass it, gets signed by the governor, and then you figure out if it gets challenged in court. I had to deal with that with the Second Amendment bill that I wrote. Went through that whole process.
So you are running unopposed. You had a Democrat opponent at what would have been in the general, which was Brian McMahon.
Yeah.
Brian is now the Democrat opponent in the House seat for Legislative District 30, which I found to be very interesting. Take me through, because I'm not part of the inside baseball as
sure.
far as the Republican Party goes.
Yeah.
Take me through the Hilde Angus going to run for, you know, rep, and I know those reasons. I spent a day with Hilde recently.
Sure.
We went to a ball game. It was like my birthday weekend. She was already down there. I needed someone to go to the ball game with.
Right.
And
she's
great company.
Hilde's great.
But why? What was behind the thought of the swap? I know you're termed out.
Right.
That was part of it. But take me through all that.
Yeah, so when she initially ran 2 years ago, we had this discussion and we talked. We said, okay, it was going to be my senior year mm-hmm. in the House, right? And when you have tenure in either body, you have pull, right? So even if I went to the Senate,
you
I'd be considered
influence.
A freshman, right?
Uh-huh.
So I go back to the beginning of the line. So it's not like, oh, I've been there for 6 years in the House. If I go to the Senate, I'm going to have a chairmanship. That wouldn't have been the case.
Right. I would
have been like, you know, a brand new person. So the thought process of me and Hilde and John was, I'm going to stay in the House. Let me have some kind of pull as a leadership position because that'll be my, you know, my final year.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened. So I, you know, chairman of transportation. Obviously, you have, you know, a lot of rookies coming in. So I was actually, you know, higher up in the list of tenure. And then the thought was, okay, Hilde, then we'll swap. We'll give you 2 years in the Senate, and then you can come over to the House. Obviously, she does not want to run to the House. She didn't want to do that, and I give her credit. I mean, she could have said, Leo, I'm not gonna leave.
Right.
And then I would have had, you know, challenged her. But she's kept her word. She's been a rock star. She's been a great teammate. Her and John both have. But it's funny, right? Now I'm in a position where, again, so it was me, Gina, Sonny, then Gina left. So me, Sonny, John.
I was going to get to that.
Yeah, and then Sonny left. He got termed out. And so I've been, for 8 years, I've been kind of like, you know, bringing new people in, helping them. So here we are again with two new seats in the house.
I don't want you to think, you know, that I'm like trying, you know, the cream rises to the top in this case.
Sure.
No, I'm serious. You would think Sonny's gone. Regina's gone. Steve and I were just talking about this. Leo's there. Look what Leo got us. Yeah. Right? $35 million for a second bridge.
Yeah.
Which people think we can use on the homeless, but that's a different story, right?
I would love to talk about that,
though. The Orchids and Karens group. The OK group.
The OK group.
And then Highway 95, both Havasu and Bullhead.
Yeah.
Good job. From this talk show host, great job.
I appreciate that.
But Sonny wasn't there. Was he?
He was there for the bridge. And
Yeah. Oh, he was.
So it was a little bit of a mix, right? It was.
Okay. Sonny, sorry. I know he's listening. He's gonna call and give me crap.
He should. The beautiful part about all of it is they were all part of it. Like Gina was part of the Highway 95. Me, Gina, Sonny. And then it went to me, Sonny, and John. We did the bridge and more of 95 and some turn lanes. And then me, Hildy. So the three of us.
So.
We've all had a piece in helping get what we need to get across the finish line.
So that type of funding takes that long to get from point A to point B because that was what Governor Ducey?
That was under Ducey.
That's
correct.
Crazy.
Isn't it wild? But this is what I explained the other night when I was speaking. I said, because I want to talk real quick about you said the $35 million
could
be used for something else. A lot of people don't understand, and I don't blame them because you don't – I mean, this is, again, inside baseball stuff. People don't know. What I remind people is they say, well, we could have used that $35 million for the bridge for roads in the city or homeless or whatever. That's not how it works. So how it works is the Arizona legislature, we get all the tax revenue dumped into the bucket, right? This is all tax revenue from the entire state. Gets into this big bucket of $18 billion. Then you fight it out.
18.1, right?
18.1, yeah. Thank you for that.
No worries.
Then we all fight it out. All 90 of us and the governor, because she signs the budget, whether people like it or not, allegedly, right? They all fight out for those scraps. You have to convince a majority of the House, a majority of the Senate, and a governor to buy into your project that you want. So if, let's say I said, okay, I want this $35 million to go to all the roads within Lake Havasu City. I'm telling you right now, it wouldn't have passed. Right, that $35 million would have gone to somebody else. It would have gone to Phoenix or Tucson or Flagstaff. So my goal as a representative, or Sonny's, or John's, or Hildy's, how do we get as much money back? Those tax dollars that we pay, that usually go to Phoenix and Tucson and Flagstaff, how do we get it back to our district? That's our fight every year at the budget. This is what we're battling, and we're pushing back
all the way back to Linda Bender, before that.
Absolutely right. Yeah. And so for us to be able to get, you know, 45, 50 million for the Highway 95 and Havasu Bullhead, 35 for the bridge, SLIF funding restored.
State Lake Improvement.
Right, exactly. Site 6, right? We got the ramp redone. That was from SLIF. Right. All these things, this is the first time, and as far as I remember, and look, people before me have been fighting, but it's been a long time since we had three people for 8 years of my term that have all worked together as a team.
The state had swept those funds for years.
2008.
Right.
Right. And so before I got in, I made those phone calls. I called Mayor of Havasu, which was Nexon. I called Mayor Brady. I called Sheriff Schuster. I called everybody. And I said, what do you need? And those were the three. They said, Highway 95 is a hot mess. We haven't had it repaved in 30-plus years. SLIF funding has been stolen from us, and it hasn't been back. The second bridge... God, how long has that been talked about? Since McCulloch.
Since 06?
Well,
really?
even McCulloch talked about, at some point, you're going to need a second bridge.
I remember the foundation.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, of course, 06, they tried. So those three things were my targets, and we got them all. And that I'm proud of. I don't like talking about, you know,
discuss your own achievements, but you have to as a politician.
I know.
Face it, you're a politician.
You're right. And my campaign manager told me, I was like, Leo, you got to stop not talking about, like, you've achieved a lot.
You have a campaign manager, but you're running unopposed?
No, I've had him for 8 years, right? I know. But he's told me, he's like, you have to talk about what you've done. You've done a lot. You've accomplished a lot. But I couldn't have done it without my teammates. I want to make that very clear. I couldn't have done it without the relationships of the community and the mayors and supervisors and everybody. I've been lucky. You know, I tell people all the time, like, you know, I think I've been successful and I've done a great job. A lot of that is hard work and just doing the job that you're elected to do. Some of it is luck, and I can't ignore that.
But now, again, and I thought about this on the way in, you're going to have two fresh Green, maybe not so much if a certain scenario happens, but two green seatmates. They still have a learning curve. I don't think any of them have written a bill. Any of the five candidates have written a bill.
No.
Are you going to be the mentor? Is there somebody in the House in leadership that are mentors? Or do they you just go and sink or swim? How does that work?
I have to give back what I was given when I became a freshman, right? When I got in, Sonny and Gina took me under their wing, and they were incredible, right? They told me what to do, what not to do, what to look out for. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you right now, it took me 2 years to learn. Right, and I'm okay with that. The first 2 years of my legislature, I didn't do much of anything. I was just kind of like
that's not
there.
What you told the voters.
Yeah. we did a lot as a legislature,
right.
But
I know.
But as a legislator, but it was okay because I was trying to learn. Sonny talks about it, right, like he talked about the viper pit and how to navigate that.
Right.
And it's true. You're down there, and you realize, man, you have to establish relationships. You have to figure out how do you maneuver through everything. How do you get bills passed? Because there's two paths when you get elected. You can be an activist, or you can actually govern and get things done.
Activists in there.
We do, but you can do both as well, right? You can get a little bit of activism in you. You can fight for what you believe in, the Republican Party, but you have to get things done, especially for rural Arizona.
Yeah.
40 years for a highway to get repaved.
Yeah.
Why is that happening?
Exactly.
Because it's been Phoenix and Tucson and Flagstaff, and you are outnumbered down there.
Drive on their roads.
They're beautiful, right?
Yeah, they
and
are.
I tell the story all the time how when I first ran that bill to repave 95, it died in committee. A bloody death. It was like 2-9.
Right.
And I had to come back. I came to Havasu, took pictures of the highway, went back to committee, convinced Representative Cobb, I'm like, let me hear the bill one more time. Mm-hmm. And I just laid in to that committee. I'm like, just because you haven't been to Havasu, just because you don't know where the heck we are in the state, mm-hmm. doesn't mean we don't deserve the money just as much as Phoenix and Tucson and Flagstaff do. Then it passed unanimous in Senate, got signed by the governor, and here we are. And the bridge is the same situation.
Right.
Actually, that's if you noticed.
Is it?
If you look at the bridge, I called it the emergency evacuation bridge.
Ah. Are we going
to
name it after first responders then?
No.
That's a good idea.
But you have to be smart down there because. Well, again, anybody can deny your idea. Anybody can deny your funding source. Okay. If I just said second bridge, they'd be like, why the heck do you need a second bridge?
You would get Gary Myers really mad at you, too.
I think Freedom Bridge is the right call. I mean, we're the one of the most patriotic cities in this country. It makes sense. And again, I tell people, like I said the other night, at some point in the growth of Lake Havasu, whether it's 5 years from now, 20 years, 50, 100, you're going to need a second bridge
right.
at some point. So why wouldn't you take that advantage now? If you were given the money, which we did, we secured the money, didn't cost Havasu a dime, you know it's going to get more expensive down the road.
Right.
So why wouldn't you do it now? Again, I go back to the point of an opportunity was open, a door opened, luck, hard work, whatever you want to call it, and we pounced on it, and we got advantage, and we got it done. And then now, there was talk about a 7-month delay,
mm-hmm.
and this was at the last, I think, council meeting. They had concerns at Coast Guard and whatnot.
Yeah, big time.
Jumped on a call. I just don't waste time. I called the Coast Guard directly, and I called the Department of Interior. I said, I want to meet you guys immediately. I met with the Department of Interior in D.C., spoke to her, the undersecretary. I said, this holdup's got to go away. Got on a call with the mayor, city manager, David Diaz, city councilman. Coast Guard was there. State Parks was there.
What was the reason? The stump speech version, the elevator
yeah,
speech.
Yeah, it was because of permitting and land swaps, and the Coast Guard was, remember, they were shut down.
In the past or currently?
No, currently.
Okay.
So the 7-month delay was all bureaucracy BS, right?
Like worse than the Riviera?
Not as bad.
Okay.
But it was close.
That's
it was a close second.
That's terrible when you have to do that.
It's horrible. So, but it's fine. I made the call. We got on a Zoom, mm-hmm. and I went straight to the chase. I said, here's the deal. We have the money. How do we get this moving? By the end of the call, Coast Guard said, we're good. We're going to move forward. 7-month delay shouldn't be a factor anymore. We'll get this done immediately. Hopefully it'll be done by August, September. I hope that we can break ground and get it done.
The bridge pylon or break ground on the road leading to?
No. You're talking about breaking ground, like starting the project.
Okay.
So the 7-month delay should be gone at this point. And it was just a matter of sometimes you have to just get everybody in a room, right, and just say, what's the problem? How do we get there? And it was all fixable.
Is there anything touching the water?
No.
Now, what would that involve, or does it matter?
That's a big no. It matters.
So that's Army Corps, right?
Yeah. If you look at Bullhead, when they built their second bridge, that took a very long time, and it took a long time because they had pillars actually in the river. And that river, if you've been upriver, you know this. That river is moving,
it's
silty. Moving fast, right?
Yeah.
Here in Havasu, thankfully, it's in a part that's not very long, so they're able to have the pillars in the dirt on each side on the land. You're going to have to still have reinforcement, but none of it will actually be in the water.
I was going to say, is there current there? That's a man-made channel.
Yeah, it's not very big current at all. It's pretty slow.
I didn't think so.
So it should. This is why I think we're set up to get this moving. That delay, as far as you know, that conversation went, is gone because the Coast Guard was just saying, "Well, we just need you to apply for these permits and apply for these things." And thankfully, the city they were great. They're like, "Look, we've already done it. We've already done all this." And the Coast Guard was just they were shut down for I think what 6-7 months, whatever it was. Coast Guard.
Oh right.
Right. And so
they were part of the
Shutdown.
The government shutdown.
Yeah. And Coast Guard said, "Oh, if you guys have these ready, send it to us, and you're good." And the city was like, "Yeah, we have it." So they sent it all over. So we're moving forward. Fantastic.
I love how the mainstream media spun that shutdown, by the way, right? It only affected Homeland Security, right?
Like, yeah, no, there's more to do.
And TSA.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Well, I didn't realize it affected the Coast Guard.
Coast Guard was down.
Wow. Yep. All right. Again, we are with State Representative Leo Biasucci running for State Senate. You still need your vote.
That's true.
You need one vote, right?
I knew. Somebody told me, they said, "Aren't you worried about election integrity?" I said, "Look, if somebody writes in 80,000 names, like somebody 80,000 times, and I lose, I deserve to lose."
That's a really good idea. No, I'm kidding.
Don't you, Paul Lovell, is going to run.
Somebody wrote me in once. I'm like, oh. And I knew who it was. It's too funny.
Was it 928?
No. Oh, no. I told you my opinion on being a politician.
No, you haven't.
I don't want to be that guy that has to go out there and be nice to people on that. I want to be the guy who gets you elected.
There you go.
All right?
It takes a personality. I agree with you.
The pushy guy, you know, get your stuff on the air and get you booked. And 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR. I know you guys don't want to just listen to us.
I know.
Make a talk radio, not just listen radio. Or you can text in your questions at 928-727-5566. 928-727-5566. You got to stand for something, right?
Got to stand for something.
All right. Back with more in a moment. Here's some Aaron Tippin.
You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything.
Eating the dogs, they're eating the cats. Eat the cat, eat the cat. They're eating the dogs, they're eating the cats. Eat the cat, eat the cat.
All right, welcome back to Speak Out. Had to play that for Leo. Hadn't heard that song in forever.
It's a great song.
That they
call don't eat cats.
Now they call it a mashup.
Don't eat dogs.
Back in the day, it was a medley, right?
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
Like a medley of vegetables. And here comes Marissa, I think. Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Mojave Electric Cooperative, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, TWN Fiber Internet by Salmon's Air Conditioning, Western Arizona Regional Medical Center. You notice the two balance between Bullhead and Havasu? Kind of cool, right?
I like it.
And here you go. From the mind of Dallas Finch comes Booby Falls Restaurant and Rodeo.
I haven't been yet. I got to go in there.
Great pizzas, sandwiches, and salads. Home to the Booby Dropper. Main Street, Havasu. I don't know what that is. I think it's a mechanical bowl or something.
Oh, is it?
I don't know.
I heard the pizza was good.
Yeah?
Which I'm Italian. I have to test it at some point to give my approval.
Chicago or New York style? Or
I don't know.
What's your favorite?
My favorite's Napolitan style. Like they have that, you know, if you go, the own, it's almost like your own pizza, personal pizza, but they make it a different, a dough. There's one, I gotta give a shout out, actually. Charlie's Pizzeria in Kingman. They're one of the only places I know that use the Caputo 00 type flour.
Ooh.
Which that's the flour from Italy. Doesn't have any of the junk in there. This is my Maha moment. Doesn't have any of those additives. It's like the original Italian dough, so it's a kind of like a stretchy, and they use it. They're one of the only people I know that use it.
Is it called Caputo?
Caputo.
And you guys,
Caputo.
We talked about this before about Italian movies.
Yeah.
That one sentence is like three wines, right?
Caputo.
Caputo. By the window. Anyway, you are going, obviously you'll be elected to the Senate. Yeah. And there's not even, it's a primary for you, but really no general election. It's more of a coronation, I guess. I don't know.
No, it's
you're
the first
unopposed.
Time.
Yeah, first is time. It the first time ever?
Well, for me, it's the first time I've had, I don't think, either House or either
not
primary.
Ever, but
no, it happens before. There's other, there's one more district. I can't remember who it is, but there's one more district in the House and Senate that are dealing with the same thing. They have no competitor.
Right.
Which is good. I mean, look, I think it shows that I've done a good job, or it shows nobody wants to do the job, so, you know, which they're probably right.
My note I was writing to myself was, if the election were held today, I don't know, you might be in the minority party. You might not be in the majority anymore.
Well,
as a senator.
Look, there is concern, right? But I think you saw what happened in Texas. You saw what happened. You're seeing it across the country. You're seeing some wins happen, right? Yeah, the Trump effect is working.
I think the anti-incumbent effect is working.
Yeah, you're also correct. And that is something that's pretty powerful, right? Mm-hmm. Like, people don't like people that have been there for a very long time.
That whole throw the bums out mentality.
100%.
Right.
Now, in which I will agree with you on that part. When you have people in office that do nothing,
mm-hmm.
right, and it happens a lot. You have a lot of time where people get elected. They're in there for
Marjorie Taylor Greene.
8 years. And it's like, what have you done? Like,
yeah.
Show me what you've done.
Right.
And this is why every time I go to speak, I have a printout of like 15 things that I've done. And I make that point.
But
I'm
that's
like,
how they got Boehner, right?
You're
Paul Ryan.
You're absolutely
right,
correct.
Right.
Like, do something when you're in there. And people are smart, and they catch on after a while. Like, okay, this guy is just sitting there collecting a check. He's not doing anything. So I agree with you in the aspect of midterm election. Historically, in D.C., you lose the House, historically, mm-hmm. on a midterm, like, off-presidential election. Just, I think it's happened every time, I think.
Just about in recent memory, right. Sure.
So I'm concerned for the state 100%. Why? Low voter turnout. You go from a midterm election with right no president on the ballot, you're at like 38-40%,
maybe.
Maybe.
If you're Yavapai County.
Right, correct. But then you go to the last election, we were at over 80. That drop-off is a problem, especially for the Republican Party.
Right.
Right, because we just don't get out. And I get it. A lot of people aren't engaged. They don't know what's going on, and they just say, we got the presidency, we got Congress, we got the Senate, we're good. I don't care. This
right.
is how we lose. Because until you get that turnout, you light the fire under our Republican base, they're not going to come out.
So I was kind of into a question, but I
yeah.
really wanted to hear your thoughts as I progressed there. So obviously Warren Peterson will not be Senate Majority Leader or Minority Leader, right? Did he have to resign to run?
No. So you don't,
oh, he didn't. He will still.
He's actually the president of the Senate.
Oh, he's
the president of the Senate.
But you don't have a 4-year term as senator. It's still two years, right?
Yep.
So he's not running for re-election, though.
Correct, because he's running for AG. So you can't run for two
right.
seats.
So he won't be there.
He will not be there.
I mean, who's going to run the room? Kim Quintero?
No, yeah.
right?
She's
I'm just saying.
Though.
No, she does a pretty good job, though, right?
Job. Yeah, she's solid. You
it's
have,
like cat herding with you
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, in the House especially. She's in the Senate. Senate
right.
is better, right? You have half the members.
For those of you who don't know who we're talking about, she was a news anchor at News Channel 3 and
yeah.
5, but did a lot of remotes.
Yes.
And now she's the liaison for
the
state Senate.
Yep,
right.
For their media. So you have a couple people running for the presidency now for next term, right? They got to win their elections.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, Peterson is out. He won't be back. You have 3 or 4 people not coming back at all.
Who's in line for leadership then?
You have Senator T.J. Schultz.
Collin's leaving
the House.
He's running for Secretary of State.
The House is my – I'll be honest with you. The House is my concern. You have – I think the last time I counted, you have 11 Republicans not coming back.
Are they squishy, though?
No.
Oh,
you have
wow.
far-right conservatives like Culloden, Marshall, Heap.
Oh, yeah.
You have...
Montenegro?
No, he's still there.
Okay.
But then you have another not... So you have myself, Julie Willoughby. We're moving to the Senate. We're running for the Senate. Gail Griffin's running for the Senate.
Well, you got John leaving, too.
John's leaving.
Right.
You have... Representative Powell is not coming back. You have a lot of members that are just done. They're like, we don't want to do it anymore. And I get it. Look, I tell people all the time when they're like, I'm going to run for office, run for the House. I'm very clear with them. Remember this. You're driving 3.5 hours one way every week.
You have to find an apartment.
And then you got to find an apartment or a place, and then you got to drive back every week. Our territory is massive. We have the biggest, I think the fifth biggest in the country.
And they're not giving you much to live on, are they?
No, it's not. I mean, we're better now mm-hmm. than we were initially.
Right.
But it is a lot of driving, a lot of work. And so a lot of people that get down there, they're like, man, this is...
The other thing is, and I've talked about this with Sonny before, at
yeah.
the county level, you vote on something, you see the effects in 90 to 120 days.
Right.
It might take two to four years before you see your legislation and actual impact from it.
Yeah, because you have the legislature ends, you have the 90-day period until it takes an effect, and then sometimes there's delays.
Look at Highway 95.
Look at how long that took. I mean, and so, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's very different, and it's very different from council even, right? Uh-huh. Like council, like you look at like Capital City Council, in the legislature, whole different ballgame. Legislature, we're working as a team. We're like together. Right. We can talk to each other about things. Council, like you, I mean, you're kind of your own man in reality.
Right.
Like you're voting your own way, and your vote really, really matters.
I never really thought about it that way. I always thought that you had a real line, especially you with your constituents. How important is that for you?
Well,
and do you have that point person that goes to your constituents, like say the Republican Club or somebody, you know, there's people out there that you can make contact with and say, you know, what is the talk on the, you know, in the community?
And this is the one benefit I think of being born and raised here, right? And
I have
those contacts where I can call whoever. I can call the mayor, the supervisor, city council,
here,
Republican
though,
women's.
But it's also Kingwood and Bullhead.
Yeah,
too,
right.
Though.
I'm talking about like the whole district, right? I mean, it's great that the mayor of even Colorado City can call me and say, hey, we're having a hiccup on this red light on the highway.
Huh?
And I can just make the call to Adon and make. I mean, that is the part I think I love the most, is that we can get something done quickly because of the relationships that I've established all those times,
right,
all those years. And I think it's important. And where you don't have that, you go to Phoenix. I talk to my colleague all the time that represents Central Phoenix. He's like, nobody knows who I am.
Which is like, what, Peoria?
Yeah, it's like, which is like probably a square mile is
okay.
His district,
yeah,
right, because it's so small.
Oh, right.
But he tells me all the time, he's like, if I went to the grocery store, nobody would even know who I was. Whereas here, that is not the case, right? Everybody knows you. This is why I love my district. I love representing this area because I personally love that. I love being able to go somewhere. My wife, maybe not so much, right, because we're having dinner and 20 people come to you.
Sure,
but
I get it.
I love it. I love that we have that connection. It happened the other day where somebody came to me and said, I have an issue with this street behind my house, and I was able to say, hey, here's Representative Gould. This is his district. It's a county issue. It's out of city limits. I love being able to do that.
Okay, I want to talk about the a couple of things because we're not getting any suggestions from the listeners. 928-854-5687, or you can text at 928-727-5566. One of the bills that went through in this last 2 years that was very important to me and a lot of other people I know that go to Phoenix to watch the Diamondbacks play was the Chase Field bill.
Yes.
Set up the taxing district. It's inside the stadium. Mayor Gallego came out against it. I'm like, why? I never understood the logic because it's the people that are going to the games that are affected. I'm the one paying $18 for a beer.
Sure.
All right? So where were you at? I just saw you make the bitter beer face, right?
No.
Where were you on that?
I voted no.
Because it was a taxing district?
I don't like picking winners and losers. Right? I don't like when you give a incentive to one group.
Okay.
And not everybody else. And this is what it does, right? It says,
well, what if everyone else asked for something, though?
I'm okay with
it. That's a big revenue generator for Arizona.
Well, you are correct.
Okay.
But it's keeping that tax. So you have a baseball stadium, the D-backs, right?
Yes.
That generate revenue by selling, like you said, beers and hot dogs.
They're
and
not
shirts
the Phoenix
and jerseys.
Diamondbacks like the Phoenix Suns.
Right.
They're Arizona Diamondbacks.
Right. But this bill is saying that any tax collected at that facility,
mm-hmm.
sales tax, stays within the company to use for
repairs
and whatnot.
It was for capital improvements.
Capital improvements,
yeah.
Right. My rub with it is, why don't we do that for every business? Why are we just doing it for the D-backs? Like, you're saying that the D-backs deserve this special treatment, that we don't have to collect that revenue that they generate, right? The state doesn't.
Well, the taxation department does, though, right?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is it's like a tip, right? It stays within the so they can do their improvements. Any other business, but we do it all the time,
I
don't like it.
We have a roof stadium that had a cancellation because of a haboob.
But you're right, but why don't we treat that? Like if I have my business.
Because the roof didn't work.
No, I know, but I have my business, right? I own a business.
Okay.
If I was struggling to keep my building intact, I wouldn't get a tax cut, a tax break to say, okay, you just keep your tax revenue.
Does the public use your building?
Yeah.
Okay, what kind of business are you?
No, I teach trap. We teach traffic school, right? Oh. We teach a DUI school. So, like, we have
you
kids,
could qualify for something, but you'd have to jack up your rates.
Well, we'd have to
get the tax, right?
Right, but my point is, like, we don't give that treatment to everybody. Right, we pick and choose. Like, we've done it for, like, you know, certain businesses and doing it. That's the part I don't like. For me, I'm like, look, if we're going to do that, then let's give a tax break to every business owners to have, let them keep more of their revenue to help them improve. Because businesses, right, they succeed or they fail.
It could have gone to the ballot, though.
I would have been okay with that.
Okay. Fair. There's common ground.
It's common ground. And look, and I voted against that. I mean, there's a few things like that that I just don't like.
I understand why they didn't do a ballot resolution on that. I mean, but it passed anyway.
Yeah, it did. It passed.
Surprisingly.
Yeah, and look, and I just, like, for me, like I said, like, I at least give something back to the state. I mean, maybe
Don't they give a lot back to the community, though?
They do.
Okay.
They do. I just don't like picking winners. I don't like,
I got you.
You're helping a bit, like, for me, is their money.
I'm going to guess this is Ron Gold, because we had this conversation, too.
Good.
It is.
I love
funny.
It.
It's funny.
For me, it's like, if they're not making enough money to stay afloat to repair their own roof, there's bigger problems.
Hang on. I think he's going to go, Warriors, come out and play. Hey, you're live on Speak Out. Are you there?
I am.
Yeah. What? Supervisor.
How can we help you?
Are you guys in a bar, or where are you?
No.
Are we in a bar?
We sound like we're in a bar?
Yeah, the music is playing in the background on the phone.
It is?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's weird.
Well, thanks for telling me. I appreciate it. No, I didn't know.
Todd Gould here. I just wanted to tell Leo that was the correct vote on the Diamondbacks.
On the phone, I guess.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
And Paul, it's no different. So should I get to keep my sales tax to build myself a new shop in my air conditioning business?
I don't know. How many people do you bring into the state?
See, you get into picking winners and losers.
Right.
And
okay. Well, it could have been
sent
to the voters, Ron.
You also said it's not a democracy, it's a republic. You also said that does the public use it? That's not the public. Those are customers.
Okay. Right.
That's a private venue.
But it's only in that venue.
It's not a city park.
It's only in that venue. That's who's paying the bill to fix that venue.
Yeah, but this is the part where I agree with the supervisor.
I feel like we're both right.
No, I agree with the supervisor on this as well. Like, we agree on this. Like, we are propping up a business.
Uh-huh.
They're a business. Because they can't afford to rebuild the roof. Then they need to figure out their financials. Like, they need to make some changes within their organization to say, we need to put more money towards the infrastructure. Like, if you're not succeeding, like, something's wrong.
But aren't they taking the chance of losing business because they've gone from the $5 beer to the $18 beer? Because they used to have $5 beer at Chase Field. You know what I mean?
Who built that stadium, though?
I don't know.
The Cardinals Stadium, it's the taxpayers.
Did the taxpayer? I don't know. I don't remember when the Bob was built.
They funded that with the tax on rental cars.
It was Bank One Ballpark at that time. So,
yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I didn't want to get into a big discussion about this.
They come down to the legislature and they ask for a handout.
Right.
And it's just wrong. It's not the free market. America was built on a free market system, not on a socialist model.
Okay.
Right.
So since the show is dedicated to the listener and to the callers, did you have anything else, Ron?
I just wanted to pick on you.
I know. I know. That's why I said Warriors, come out and play.
I think Paul realized it when he brought it up and he saw me shaking my head.
I get it. I know where I stand. I know where and you know, we found common ground on it, too, so that was cool.
Yeah. That's why.
Well.
I mean, the Goldwater Institute wouldn't appreciate that, but we do.
No, as the poster child for the Goldwater Institute, I would say they don't appreciate corporate welfare handouts.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same situation that's happening now with the movie industry.
Right.
Right, there was a bill, again, I didn't vote for that one either, where it was giving them kind of a carve-out to build studios, right, and Goldwater sued them. Same thing, like, you're giving this, like, special treatment. Like, you're a business. Figure it out.
That's why they filmed 310 to Yuma in New Mexico.
Did they really?
Yes.
Oh, that's funny.
Almost all of it.
But we filmed that. The movie handout once before because it didn't provide any economic benefit to Arizona when we studied it in a study committee and we killed it and then somebody brought the thing back up.
Roger went before the committee and I think you were on that committee, weren't you?
Probably.
Yeah, he was part of the delegation from the film industry He was telling me that story.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so they brought it back.
Why don't we want those people in Arizona anyway?
That was a long time ago.
I know. That's another question, right? Do you want to bring the Hollywood environment,
yeah,
right, to Arizona?
Right.
I mean, there's another very good point. And again, look, do we even need to do that? I mean, we're already ahead of California in everything. We don't have unionization. We don't have high taxes. We don't have high property taxes. Why even do we have to do another big tax break to bring them in? We don't have to. We already have the environment that's better than California ever will be. So
especially, we have a flat tax now, right?
We do.
Right,
which is
right.
And which is funny, right? When we did the flat tax, as the majority leader at the time, you should have seen the hate mail that we got from people. We're gonna go bankrupt. We're gonna lose police. We're gonna lose fires.
I remember.
And what happened? Record revenues.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because everybody moved here.
Is it still record revenues with Katie?
Well,
Hobgoblin.
It's a different story.
Ron, I gotta go to break. We are so late for a break. We're gonna come back for like 2 minutes and then go to another break.
Thank you, Supervisor.
Thank you, Ron. All right, now I can play the music.
There you go.
Weird is that? I know what he's saying because we've kind of gone through this before. So,
Oh, it's kind of elevator music in the background.
What's that?
It was elevator music.
I'm like, because we're not hearing it, but it's yeah. All right, we are going to take a short break, a very short break. We'll come back. We've got a text question.
Good.
We'll come back with that. So now we balanced it out, right?
Yeah.
All right. Back with more in a moment. Leo Biasucci, our guest. He's running for State Senate Legislative District 30. Don't change the name of the district anymore, please.
It's going to happen probably again.
I know.
You have 2030.
Oh, my goodness. You're
probably going to gain 2 congressional seats.
Really?
Arizona. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought
they
we won last
us.
Time.
They stole it from us.
We thought California was going to lose 4.
As they should have.
I know they should have.
It's corrupt.
Anyway, it is. Since when did illegals get driver's licenses? Come on, man.
Ooh, I have a...
Stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out. Welcome back to Speak Out Real Quick, brought to you in part by Springberg Wealth Management, also by The Chair, Laughlin Ranch, Mojave College, Shooters Outpost, Solar Power by Esme Electric, by Doritos Place, Legacy Rehab and Care, and A&B Propane online at abpropaneaz.com. Leo, quick question. Are you going to the primary candidates forum? Gonna check it out. It's on a Wednesday,
the
17th.
I'm really bummed out. I'm going to try. I'm supposed to be in D.C.
You better have a note, mister.
I'm supposed to be in D.C. meeting with the
You're
administration.
You're unopposed.
I know.
You
no, no, I would
there.
Be there, but yeah. I have to be in Washington, D.C. To meet with the administration about water, which is a big deal.
It is. And we didn't even get to talk about water.
I know.
But there's proposals going on right now.
But there's one.
The Lake Mead proposal, Southern Nevada Water District in L.A.?
No.
The desal plant?
See, I think
it's a swap.
Oh, interesting.
So the Nevada would get the desal water and
desal from where?
The Pacific Ocean.
No, but where's the desal plant?
It's I don't remember. It's somewhere in SoCal.
Okay,
I think it's San Diego.
Okay, but which I think there's a proposal that's out there that I've been talking with Congressman Gosar, Congressman Biggs, companies.
But California gets the water credits from Lake Mead.
See, I want Arizona to take the lead. And there's an idea out there that I don't know if I can talk about yet that would make Arizona the biggest water player in the country.
It's just like energy. Why are we so behind when it comes to energy production in the state?
I agree with you.
We have nothing. We're depending on California and New Mexico
and
Southern Nevada.
Yeah, and I'll talk about it on air.
Okay, anyway, I have a text question.
Yeah, go ahead.
And 928-727-5566, the KNTR talk and text line. We have about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
All right. When you pay state fees like auto registration with a credit card, is the state exempt from credit card fees? That's a really good question.
It's a great question, and they're not.
Because they're not.
They're not. Because
so
these credit card fees.
Visa, MasterCard.
Yeah, they get the same fees charged. This is, it brings everything up. I don't know if you've ever paid with a credit card.
All the time.
You always get the fee.
A driver's license.
Right. They had a fee. It's something to look at, and it's a good question. I don't know if we can legally get that exempt from these credit card companies, but it's adding costs. 100% to everybody that I think is unnecessary. But I'll find out for sure. The first I've heard, if they've been exempt, I don't think they are.
I'm not going to call it a racket, but
yeah, it's
Visa, MasterCard, Chase, I think it was Chase Bank, had the contractor, whatever it's called, with the SNAP card.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yep.
You remember that in the Obama era?
Yeah, I do.
And they were getting,
no, they're getting
a penny and a half per transaction or something.
It was ridiculous.
Can you imagine?
Ridiculous.
This is like Office Space on steroids,
yeah, seriously.
Right?
It's unbelievable.
Right.
But yeah, I'll look into it. Next time I come up, we'll talk about it. I want to talk about this water thing real quick.
Real quick. Because I wanted to ask you about insurance. We're getting
insurance.
We're getting killed on insurance, car insurance, every kind of insurance.
Oh, going through the roof. I agree with you.
What can we do? Because the insurance company has it down. When you're a customer for six years, they know you're not going to drop them.
Correct.
So they raise your rates anyway.
Yeah. It's something regulatory that you have to look into. I mean, that's a complex thing, and it's tough.
Okay.
And you need to have it.
As a constituent, I'm asking you when you get to the Senate, is there anything you can do? You know.
Yeah, I mean, we can 100%. We can 100% look into it. I don't know what
it's
can do.
It's going to be a voter referendum.
It's going to have to be. And you have to think about how you do it. Like, do you, again, mess with the markets? But when you have something you have to have.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
They made it mandatory,
right.
And now we're paying up the wahoo for it.
I agree with you.
All right.
Yeah, happy to look at it.
Tell me about water. What is the big challenge with water? What about the Kingman Aquifer?
So the Kingman Aquifer we helped with, and we're about to hopefully do a study to see how much water is in that aquifer. Because this is the biggest problem. We don't know what's down there. Legitimately. We don't have we have an idea, but we don't know. Going back to what I said before, I'm going to talk about it because Congressman Gosar has been leading the charge on this.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with him, and we've been having meetings in D.C. I was there a couple of weeks ago to talk about this. My opinion, Congressman Gosar's opinion, I know Congressman Biggs is in support of it. I think we have to make a big move that will be a monumental move for this country. I think you make a Panama-style agreement with Mexico and Puerto Peñasco. You build a desal plant.
Absolutely.
You build a port. You build a cruise terminal. You make a huge infrastructure investment. The same thing we did with the Panama Canal. We go in there, we build it, private-public partnership. Arizona will then be the leader in water, period. We don't have to worry about anybody else at that point.
We don't have to worry about some crazy scheme of getting it from the Mississippi River to Arizona.
Absolutely right.
Remember that one?
That was a crazy one. But this one, think about it. The border from Puerto Peñasco to Lukeville is 60 miles. It's not very long. That pipe is nothing.
Okay.
But now you have Arizona in the lead for water. We would never have to worry about the upper basin states. We don't have to worry about anything else. We can say, you know what? We're the boss.
So what's the holdup?
You have to have an agreement. This is what we're working on now.
With Mexico
or
the Democrats?
No. All that matters is the administration, Mexico. You have to have a private-public partnership. I've been talking with MSC. They're the third biggest transport company in the country.
All the more reason.
In the world, excuse me. And they're willing. They're like, look, if we can come through the Panama Canal and go to Arizona versus California, we bypass the union BS, we bypass the high taxes, we bypass the backups. Now you're talking about something that would literally make Arizona the greatest state in the country, period. You have a port, you have a desal plant, you have a cruise terminal, you have infrastructure, you have clean water now going even to Mexico. You make the agreement, we're going to give you this water, you're going to give jobs. This is
a
huge
deal.
That's
a 30, by the way,
I know.
In TV.
I know.
So Biggs wants to make that happen. He's already on it.
Gosar has been spearheading it.
Nice.
Biggs is all in. And you would have to have an agreement between Arizona, the U.S. government. And if there's a president that can make this happen,
it's Trump.
It would be Trump.
Yeah.
Right?
All right,
and
we gotta go, man.
And Mexico would, I know Mexico would love it because now you're going to give them clean water.
All right. Thanks for being here.
Hey.
As always.
Great being here. Always.
All right.
Love it. Thank you, guys. Vote for Leo.
All right.
Even though I'm the only one on the ballot.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.